On this glorious day of Easter, I greet you. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. God of mercy, we no longer look for Jesus among the dead, for he is alive and has become the Lord of life. Increase in our minds and hearts the risen life we share with Christ, and help us to grow as your people toward the fullness of eternal life with you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading today is from the 118th Psalm, verses 1 to 2 and 14 to 24. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Taken from the third chapter of Colossians, verses 1 through 4. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I shall read to you the gospel acclamation for the morning. Alleluia! Christ, our paschal lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia! In our gospel lesson for the morning, the Holy Gospel is written in the 16th chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, beginning with the first verse and continuing through the 18th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, you rolled away the stone, and by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you broke the power of death and opened the way to eternal life. By the power of your Spirit, O Lord, roll away the stone of our hearts and minds and reveal to us the word of life, that all we do may proclaim to the world, He is risen indeed. Make me your vessel, O Lord, to rightly proclaim your word through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Do you remember the legend of the touchstone? It's a great story to recall on Easter Sunday morning. According to that ancient legend, if you could find the touchstone on the coast of the Black Sea and hold it in your hand, everything you touched would turn to gold. You could recognize the touchstone by its warmth. The other stones would feel cold, but when you picked up the touchstone, it would turn warm in your hand. Once a man sold everything he had and went to the coast of the Black Sea in search of the touchstone. He began immediately to walk along the shoreline, picking up one stone after another in his diligent and intentional search for the touchstone. He was consumed with this dream. He wanted desperately to find this miraculous stone. However, after several days had passed, he suddenly realized that he was picking up the same stones again and again. So he devised a plan. Pick up a stone. If it is cold, throw it into the sea. This he did for weeks and weeks. Then one morning he went out to continue his search for the touchstone. He picked up a stone. It was cold. He threw it into the sea. He picked up another stone. Cold. He threw it into the sea. He picked up another stone. It turned warm in his hand. And before he realized what he was doing, he automatically threw it into the sea, just as he had been doing with every stone for weeks. This seems to be, to me, a good parable to think about on this Easter morning, because that can so easily happen to us. We can come upon a miraculous moment like Easter. We can feel it turn warm in our hands, but then, so dulled by the routine, before we realize what we are doing, we throw it away. Absent-mindedly, mechanically, nonchalantly, we toss it aside and miss the miracle of Easter. Please, let's not throw it away this year. Don't miss it this time. This year, let us seize and celebrate and embrace the incredible good news of Easter. In particular, this year, let me urge and encourage you to take hold of one of the greatest nuggets of God's truth, namely, the redemptive power of Easter. Don't miss this. Easter shows us dramatically that God has the power to redeem. He can, through the miracle of His grace, turn bad things into good things, change things, and make things better for you. On Easter morning, the women came to the tomb in sadness, in defeat, in grief, in disillusionment. But there they found out firsthand about God's power to redeem. There at the empty tomb on Easter morning, they found out dramatically that He can turn defeats into victories, despair into hope, and death into life. God has the power to redeem. He can turn the heartache of Good Friday into the Hallelujah chorus of Easter morning. In 1983, the third baseman for the San Francisco Giants, Bob Brindley, set a major league record with 4 errors in one game at third base against the Atlanta Braves. But then, at his last time at bat in the bottom of the ninth inning, the count was 3-2. Bob Brindley hit a home run, and they won the game 7-6. From goat to hero, with one swing of the bat, as Bob Brindley circled the bases with his game-winning home run, the radio announcer said, "Well, folks, Bob Brindley just redeemed himself. A bad day had turned around. The jeers had turned to cheers. A nightmare became the dream of a lifetime." Now, a sports player may be able to redeem himself and turn things around by his own ability, but when it comes to our souls, when it comes to our spiritual lives, only God can redeem. Only God can save. Only God can turn defeat into victory, death into life. This is the message of Holy Week. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is the message of Easter. O death, where is thy victory? O grave, where is thy sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus. He has been raised. He is not here. So why do you seek the living among the dead? He is risen. He lives, and because he lives, we too can live through faith in him. We too can be resurrected. God has the power to redeem. That is the good news of our faith, isn't it? It means that no defeat needs to be final. No heartache has to last forever. Good Fridays will come into our lives, but if we hang in and trust God, he has an Easter morning waiting for us on the other side. Through the miracle of God's grace, we can bounce back. We can change. We can start over. We can have a new beginning, a new life. When you stop to think about it, God's redemptive power is absolutely amazing. And once each year, along comes Easter to remind us of that. Let me show you what I mean. First of all, Easter reminds us that events can be redeemed. You see this graphically in the painful events of Holy Week: treachery, deceit, jealousy, betrayal, denial, lies, bribed witnesses, trumped-up charges, false accusations. A fixed trial led to the crucifixion of one who was totally innocent. Terrible events. But God somehow redeemed those events and miraculously brought good out of them. God has the power to do that. Rosemary Brown was one of the finest ministers in the Methodist Church. She sometimes told the story about an event that happened when she was 8 years old, an event that touched her heart and changed her life forever. There was a little boy who lived in her neighborhood. His name was Jeter. Jeter was an only child of well-to-do parents who made sure he received everything his little heart desired. Well, one day, his little heart desired the very thing that 8-year-old Rosemary Brown's heart desired. It was a drum that had suddenly appeared in the display window at Penny's department store. It was a white drum with blue stars and a red, white, and blue strap that went around your neck to hold the drum in place. There were two drumsticks for beating up the rhythm, and Rosemary Brown was certain that she would lead a parade if it could just be hers. Oh, my! Rosemary wanted that drum so much she could taste it. At dinner that night, she told her dad about the drum and how much that she wanted it. Her dad asked how much it cost. When Rosemary told him $20, her dad said in kind of a sad voice, "We'll see, honey. we'll see. Then the very next day, Rosemary heard a sound out in the front yard, a loud noise. She looked out, and can you believe it? There stood Cheater with her drum hanging from around his neck. Cheater was beating out a rat-a-tat-tat and hollering for all the kids in the neighborhood to come and join his parade. Rosemary's heart was absolutely broken, and she made up her mind to put Cheater in his place once and for all. So she gathered up all of her playmates on C Street, and she devised a plan. She told the other kids that they would all fall in line behind Cheater. But when they got in front of a certain lady's house, they would all duck behind the hedge in her yard and leave spoiled Cheater out in the street, marching by himself. Well, Cheater started strutting down the street, his head thrown back and his knees flying up as he beat out that rat-a-tat-tat on his new drum. Rosemary and her friends all followed in line, marching behind Cheater, excited about their plan to desert him. When they got to the privet hedge on that yard, Rosemary gave her prearranged signal, and one by one they all left the parade and hid, trying hard not to giggle out loud. They were so proud because their trick was working perfectly. Cheater just kept on marching all alone. When Cheater reached the end of the street, he looked back. He turned around and saw that he had been deserted by all of them. Then he did something that Rosemary had not counted on. At the age of 8 years old, she was not prepared for what happened next. Cheater's little arms dropped to his sides, and in a voice Rosemary would never forget, Cheater whimpered, "Little band, where are you?" And then, as if to punish Rosemary for the rest of her life, Cheater started crying. That was a crossroads moment for Rosemary Brown. Never before in her 8 years of life had she intentionally hurt another human being the way she hurt little Cheater that day. She had premeditated his downfall as a neighborhood kid who always got what he wanted, but she didn't like the way it felt. It was not fun at all. It was terrible, and she felt horrible. And that day, even though she was only 8, she made up her mind to never again intentionally hurt another person as long as she lived. She asked God to forgive her and to help her to be on the side of helping people, not hurting them. God redeemed that event because Rosemary Brown grew up to be one of the most loving, compassionate, caring pastors in the United Methodist Church. That's what Easter is about, isn't it? How God in His power and grace can take bad things and turn them into good things. How He can redeem events. Even our Old Testament tells us that God can turn evil into good. Perhaps our prayer these days can be that God redeem this current phase of our lives. We shelter in place these days to help ward off the spread of what is sometimes a deadly disease and is most often a disease which makes people exceptionally ill. May our prayer be that God indeed use this time to His purposes. His purposes may be very different for different people. I cannot begin to guess what they all may be. But I do know in my heart that God's good mercy is and will be at work in His redemption of this time. Second, Easter reminds us that things can be redeemed. Think of that. God can even redeem material things. For example, I'm thinking of John Wesley's study desk on display in his home in London. It's a prime example. That same desk once belonged to a bookie. Designed originally for taking gambling bets, it was redeemed to become a place of spiritual power where John Wesley thought through and wrote down his greatest sermons. I'm also thinking of a little church in the Fiji Islands. They have there an unusual baptismal font. It's a large stone, deeply stained, and the church puts the baptismal water in a portion of the top hollowed out into the shape of a bowl. It was once called the Killing Rock, for it was the place where cannibals brought their victims for the kill. Now it is the place where they bring their babies to be baptized in the church. Mostly, though, I'm thinking of the cross. The cross, once the emblem of suffering and shame, punishment and death, the cross has been redeemed and now is a symbol of love and victory, forgiveness and life and salvation. So you see, events can be redeemed and things also can be redeemed. Third and finally, so can people be redeemed. Easter reminds me that people like you and me, we don't have to stay the way we are. We can be forgiven, reshaped, reclaimed, resurrected. Is there perhaps something in your life that needs to be changed? Is there a secret sin, a vengeful spirit, a bad temper, a lack of commitment, a prayer life that needs a little bit more attention? A hateful attitude in you. Is there anything in your life or in your heart that you would be a whole lot better off without? If you will let Him, God can change you. He can bring you out of the tombs that imprison you. One of the instrumental persons in my life who led me to even begin thinking about faith was my mother's father, the only grandfather I ever knew. When Gramp died, Mom and I went down to Fort Lauderdale to help my grandmother through that difficult time and to help with all the plans that needed to be made. We stayed a week or so after the funeral service, and that was when I met my grandfather in a new way. Cards and letters came from all over the U.S. and from Ontario, where he was born and raised. People wrote about the impact he had had on their lives. One fellow wrote that Gramp had loaned him money one time when his business was in trouble and his family was nursing two sick children. And he went on to say that the loan wasn't really what was so astounding. What he would never forget was proudly taking Gramp the money to pay back the loan. But my grandmother would not accept it. When the man protested, he said that Gramp had told him to keep it, and one day he might have the opportunity to help someone else out. And then he told stories of how he had helped other folks out in the same way he had been helped. And that was one of many notes and letters that spoke of just that kind of generosity that was my grandfather's. But that was not the first thing about him that had its impact on my life. Gramp was in the recycling business long before it became popular. He started a company in the 30s outside of Birmingham that dealt with non-ferrous metals. They bought up old scrap metal from all kinds of places and companies. They would smelt it down, remove any impurities, separate the metals, and make ingots of brass and copper and such for use by other manufacturers who needed these purified metals. As a young child, I didn't go down to the plant, as we called it, but I can remember going there once when I was older. I saw the huge piles of scrap metal in what they called the yard. I saw the big furnaces that had to be kept at a certain temperature in order to do the job right. I watched the men pouring the hot molten metals into ingot molds, and I saw the marvelous ingots that were the finished product. What impressed me, even as a child, was Gramp telling me that all those ingots would go to a factory to be reclaimed, to be melted down again and remade into something new. It may come out as fenders for a new car, or surgeon's tools, or maybe even as a steeple for a church. Who knows what it may be, but it would be new and useful and valuable. Now, if we can do that with our old scrap metal, how much more can God do with human beings, with people like you and me? You know He wants to. He wants to reclaim us. He wants to reshape us and redeem us. And He wants to make us whole. He is risen. He has broken the bonds of His tomb and overcome death. He lives. He wants us to rise and live also. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Thanks be to God. Amen.